We'll go ahead and call the House Appropriations Committee to order. Sam, can you take the roll, please?
Representative Heiner.
Here.
Representative McNutt. Representative Vila. Representative Roberts. Representative Nooney.
Here.
Representative Steenson.
Here.
Representative Henry.
Here.
Representative McChesney.
Here.
Representative Getz. Representative Hawk. Representative Caston. Representative Morgan.
Here.
Representative Hollinsworth.
Here.
Representative Ankeny.
Here.
Representative Peace Lopez.
Here.
Representative Hollenbaugh.
Here.
Representative Melha.
Here.
Representative Jones. Representative Glazer.
Here.
Chairman Sesso.
Excused. Thank you, Sam. Members of the committee, today we have before us Senate Bill Number 303. Everyone here that plans to testify, please remember to sign in at the door. And Senator Wansenreed.
Good morning, Madam Vice Chair. For the record, I'm Dave Wansenreed. I have the privilege of representing Senate District 49 in Missoula. I'm not sure what the ground rules are for bills here, if I need to go through all the background. I know you've discussed this bill, so I'm just going to cut to the chase. This is the...
Thank you.
I've just did some calculating. This is the fourth hearing we've had on the bill. We had two in the Senate. This is the second one in the House. We've had three floor debates on the bill, three fiscal notes, including the one that's in front of you. I'm just going to tell you what the bill proposes to do. We have three major drainages in Montana, Clark Fork, which includes the Flathead, the Yellowstone, and the Missouri. We've done some water planning since the enactment of the original law on water use back in 1967, I believe. But we haven't done it consistently. And every one of us says rhetorically, boy, water is the most important resource we have next to our kids. And then coal and everything else follows in short order. But you know what? We haven't done a very good job of planning. And for different reasons, we have diminished flows. If you look at the water leaving, especially the eastern part of Montana, historic lows of water. And the trends aren't very promising that they're going to improve. You can look outside and say, well, it looks like today we don't have to worry about having enough snowpack, but 1 year does not make a trend. And we have some disturbing trends of snowpack and water flows combined with population growth and the escalation of conflicting water use and demands for water. The question is, what are we going to do about it? And what this bill proposes to do is establish a framework. It is expensive. I want to tell you, I don't pretend for a moment that $300,000 right now isn't expensive. But doing nothing is far more expensive because all of you know, all of your constituents use water. And when it's gone, if they want to generate hydroelectricity, if they want to irrigate, if they want to fish, they want to turn on the tap and have water, at some point, you're going to be getting calls from people saying, well, wait a minute, something's wrong here. There's something wrong. We don't have enough water. What this bill proposes to do is establish a framework to take a look at these very, very serious trends that we've got. We have a first-in-time, first-in-right, prior appropriation doctrine in Montana that we need to safeguard. Everybody around the table says we need to protect agriculture. And the question is, so how are we going to do that with all these trends that are out there? The bill proposes to establish a framework patterned pretty much on the one that's being used in the Clark Fork River Basin right now to bring water users together, as you look at the bill, to begin to look at these trends and to establish an ongoing effort. We seem to do this in fits and jerks. We do it for 2 years and say, oh, it's not important. We don't have enough money. And then we don't do it for 10 years. The last time the water plan was updated, by my reckoning, was in 2004. That's not good enough. We have way too many things going on now. We have closed basins, over-appropriated basins, population growth, and people don't ask when they move somewhere, is this basin closed? Is there enough money, enough water here for what I want to do? They move in, and then eventually someone begins to say, you know what, we may begin to get to a problem here with too many subdivisions in these areas, and everybody wants to live in all the nice areas. It's an expensive approach. I want to repeat to you, $300,000 at this point in this session is a lot of money. Now, many of you know that Representative McNutt has a bill on groundwater, and I think these two things go hand in hand. We need to do better, and we need to bring the water users together and have a dialogue about how we're going to resolve this and establish a policy framework going forward, especially on the Missouri and the Yellowstone basins. Madam Vice Chairwoman, I'd be happy to stand down and answer questions at the appropriate time.
Thank you, Senator. Proponents to Senate Bill 303.
Madam Vice Chair, members of the committee, my name is Krista Lee Evans, and I'm here today on behalf of AGGIE, the Association of Gallatin Agricultural Irrigators, as well as the Senior Water Rights Coalition. And I'm going to be brief because this is the fourth hearing on this bill. I mainly want to talk about what's going to happen with this bill that wouldn't happen without it. I think the most important issue that Senator Wansonry touched on is the fact that the supply and demand curves with water are starting to cross in certain areas of Montana. And how do you allocate those water resources amongst the various users? And with our prior appropriation doctrine, it becomes very difficult and very challenging. It's our hope with Senate Bill 303 that with the local users on the ground discussing the issues, they can come up with real-world solutions that they have ownership in that will be put to work on the ground and will actually work when implemented. The second thing that I think is most important is that this requires the department to move forward with water planning. Not that they haven't attempted to in the past. I just think funding has been a significant issue for them. But it allows the state to be proactive with regard to our water resources and how we're going to use them rather than reactive. And as you are well aware, when we become reactive, it's usually much more expensive. And usually, it involves litigation. So we are very much in favor of Senate Bill 303. We think it's a good approach to manage our water resources in the state, and we hope that you agree. Thank you.
Other proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Holly Franz. I represent PPL Montana, and I'm also here speaking today on behalf of the Clark Fork Task Force, which is a water users group that works in the Clark Fork Basin that includes also the Flathead. And just following up on the testimony that you've heard, you know, when this session is over, I'm a water rights lawyer, and I'll go back to what I do, which is filing objections to permits, filing permits on behalf of clients, and fighting all the little battles that we have. And if I'm successful in all those, maybe some permits will get denied, maybe some of mine will get forward, but that kind of activity doesn't move the discussion forward. We don't have anyone in many of these basins sitting down and looking to the future because there are new demands, and if we don't find ways to deal with those demands, we're either going to have those that have the existing water rights are going to lose them without any compensation, or we're just going to say no, and we have folks with, you know, moving into communities with no water. So we have to find a way to move the debate forward. The best way to do that, in my opinion, is water users groups, folks that have actual a stake in the area that know what is going on in that area. And if you just give me a moment, I'd like to talk about the Clark Fork River Basin Task Force, because that's the task force that I'm involved in, and that's the entity that would have the authority in the Clark Fork. We are a group. We're all water users. I guess my first thing is you get a good bang for your buck with these kind of things, because these are water users. We have hydrologists on this task force. We have water quality specialists on this task force. We have attorneys on this task force. And all the state pays for those folks is some of them asked to be reimbursed for their mileage. But you've got all kinds of expertise. We've got agricultural experts, or what I call agricultural experts, they're ranchers, who have been using water in their basins for years and know how it works. The state gets the benefit of all that for basically putting gas in somebody's tank. What has happened in the Clark Fork that would not happen if water users weren't sitting down looking at the future is that we've identified shortages in that area, just like in most of the areas. And we looked upstream, and we saw Hungry Horse sitting there. And we found out that the state of Washington had already appropriated $1 million to try to get water from Hungry Horse for further irrigation in their states. And we wondered why the state of Montana wasn't in asking for water from that reservoir when that reservoir flooded Montana lands. And the federal act that authorized that reservoir said that we should get some water because of the flooding of our lands. So that group sat down. We came back to the legislature a couple of sessions ago. We got a joint resolution that directed DNRC to start negotiating with the Bureau. We changed the statutes so that the state can lease water from federal reservoirs, and the Yellowstone and the Missouri also have federal reservoirs where there is unallotted water. That could be a solution if folks sit down and take a proactive look at this. And right now we're moving forward with the feds to see if we can get some water freed up for Montana. Now, I don't know that we're going to be successful, but I know that this discussion would not even be going forward if we didn't have a water users group pushing the envelope and trying to solve their problems. That's what we hope that this bill will do in a fairly cost-effective method in the rest of the state, and I would urge your support.
Further proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Mike Murphy, representing the Montana Water Resources Association. We also wish to go on the record in support of Senate Bill 303 for all the reasons that you've heard, that considering the importance of water in Montana to all Montanans and to various uses of those waters, it makes good common sense that we provide for a comprehensive framework and study to plan for the use of those waters to protect the use of Montana's waters for Montanans and provide for what we will be seeing in the future, which will be growth and the needs associated with that, the water uses that will come with that growth in Montana. So for all those reasons that you heard, Mr. Chairman, we support Senate Bill 303.
Thank you, Mike. Other proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, John Youngberg representing Montana Farm Bureau. I'd like to echo the support for Senate Bill 303 that you've heard before. You know, for the last 20 years, I've sat on the city council, one of the fastest growing communities in Montana on the upper Missouri in Belgrade. And we have reached a point where now we're starting to have to compete with other interests in the valley there, in the Gallatin Valley, which puts me in an interesting position that I represent agriculture and sit on a city council that has to compete with them for water. I think this puts a framework in place to put us on the ground with those people and try and come up with solutions to all the challenges that we have and all the competition for Montana's water. So I certainly urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Other proponents?
Mr. Vice Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Tom Ebzery, E-B-Z-E-R-Y. I'm a Billings attorney here on behalf of Avista Corporation. Avista is the owner of the largest private dam in Montana, located in Knoxon, up in the Clark Fork. We have participated, as Holly has mentioned, with the Clark Fork Task Force. We think that now is the time to take a look at the water plan, particularly as it involves the Clark Fork. We think we commend Senator Wansenreed for bringing this idea forward, and we hope that you will adequately fund it and we can move forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Mr. Vice Chairman, Rhonda Wiggers on behalf of the Montana Water Well Drillers Association. We also rise in support of Senate Bill 303. The only way we can make decisions and plan for our future is when any decisions that we make as a body is to have information and good information. And we hope that you will fully fund the ability for them to gather this information, to get the people together, to have these discussions and plan so that we are moving forward in our water distribution in the state of Montana.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Gary Amistoy. I'm here today representing the Richland County Economic Development Corporation as the only county in the state that is fortunate to have the two major rivers flowing through the county. We see how important water planning is for the state, because as you know, once the water in the Missouri and Yellowstone passes Richland County, it's no longer within the borders of the state of Montana. We see water planning as an important issue in terms of agricultural, industrial, municipal, in-stream flows, and recreation. So we would encourage your support of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Further proponents? Third time, are there opponents? Any opponents? Third time, seeing none, informational witnesses.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jan Langle. I'm operations manager for the Water Resources Division of the Department of Natural Resources. In order for us to implement Senate Bill 303, we will need the additional resources as outlined in the fiscal note. While we are increasing already our state water planning as a priority in our Water Management Bureau, staff right now are currently committed to planning and technical assistance at the watershed level, the community watershed level, local watershed levels. We have scaled back already from our EPP proposal to the introduced version of 303 to the amended version. And additionally, with the 3% additional vacancy savings and 3.2% cut in general fund, we will need the resources that are outlined in the fiscal note. I will be available for questions. Thank you.
Any other informational witnesses? Seeing none, questions from the committee. Representative Gaston.
Thank you, Vice Chair McNutt. A question, I guess, of Holly Franz. You know, we're talking about studies. We've done a lot of studying, and it is very important, I think, water. But the question I have, I'm looking at the fiscal note, and it says that on the Clark Fork you did some study, but the study, and it's limited to just using existing data. Now, when we fund something like this, I'm hoping that we're very thorough and can get something that we can drive a stake in and get some bang for the buck. How would you respond to that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Gaston. I guess a couple of things. I do think a lot of this information is out there. A lot of the questions that we ran into in the Clark Fork is what is the existing water use? And what you find is you have a water rights database, but because claims, for instance, one 40-acre tract, you might have three different water rights that cover that tract. So it's hard to identify what the real water use is from the water right database that DNRC has. So we have used existing databases on the USDA, agricultural statistics. We have used the USGS gauging streams. I think we've done a pretty good job of using that. Now, we have, I think if these groups identify areas where we're missing data, I don't think, I mean, certainly this bill does not include money to go out and hire a hydrologist or do a bunch of basic research. However, in my experience, DNRC does have a lot of expertise that you can bring into these kind of groups and either see what they have, or we have been successful in the Clark Fork in encouraging the state agencies to direct their future studies to the extent that they have funds available into areas that we believe will help in the planning.
Okay, thank you. A follow-up with Mr. Langlo. And just a little comment to get started on this. Like I say, we're doing a lot of studying. I think I voted against this bill once out of committee here or whatever. But and I know how important water is. I realize this. Now, are you with DNRC?
Yes.
Okay. A question I have. We have our conservation districts out that work and do different planning. And I'm thinking about TDMLs and so forth on what they're doing. And they've been in complete conflict with DNRC. DNRC has not really utilized what the conservation districts put together, their studies. So the question I'm trying to get at is, okay, we fund this bill and we go ahead and do some plan. Is it going to be everybody's going to be hooked to the same harness, and we go forward with this plan, and in 2 years, if it needs to be followed up, we can just go ahead and continue with it? Or are we going to have two or three entities working in different directions? How would you respond to that? I'm hoping that we can get together on these plans.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Castlin, yeah, I guess that's the way I would look at it, is that the DNRC would hire a planner to kind of coordinate the efforts between the different entities, that we would bring in the different groups into these committees that are part of the plan.
Okay, a follow-up, Mr. Chairman, and then on this, like your conservation districts in a closed basin that have already pretty well done their studies and so forth, will you utilize the information that they put together?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kasten, yeah, I would assume that we would use any information that was available to us to formulate the state plan.
Okay, thank you. I guess other people might have questions. I have a little concern that we're not trying to be on the same page, and that's my problem.
Representative Morgan?
Question for the sponsor, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Vice Chairman.
Senator Wansenreed, I'm going to go to the money aspect of this. House Bill 2 just came out of the Senate, and I don't know. Can you tell me, best to your recollection, what was the new ending fund balance on House Bill 2?
Right here, kid.
Oh, boy. When it came out of Senate Finance and Claims.
268. Yeah, Mr. Vice Chairman and Representative Morgan, my recollection is being handed out is somewhere just north of $268 million, if I'm not mistaken.
Follow up. 260. Mr. Vice Chair, Senator Wansenreed. So, yeah, I looked at this yesterday, but that number was foreign to me, so it was way different than I remember. But anyway, I'm sure it's right. If we were to fund this, this money would come out of that ending fund balance. Is that correct?
Mr. Vice Chairman and Representative Morgan, not necessarily. There's a lot of work yet to be done on House Bill 2. This money is not included in House Bill 2, so there's always that option to do a number of things, as you well know, at the end of the session. If you decide everything in House Bill 2 is sacred not to be changed, then the policy decision is, do you fund this on top of that? If you do, it would come out of the ending fund balance, Mr. Vice Chairman.
A follow-up? Mr. Vice Chairman, Senator Wansenreed, what would your preference be?
Mr. Vice Chairman and Representative Morgan, I'm glad you asked that question. I didn't happen to vote for House Bill number 2 for a number of reasons. I think there's probably some flexibility within that budget to fund this. I'm one of 49 votes, and I happen to be on the shy side of the vote in the Senate, so I'm not sure my opinion matters that much at this moment, Mr. Vice Chairman.
Follow-up, Mr. Vice Chairman? Mr. Vice Chairman, Senator, you sound like a politician. You did not give me an answer. What would your, I asked you, whether you're on the short end of the stick or not, what would your preference be? What would you like
Mr.
to see
Mr. Vice Chairman and Representative Morgan, if we can agree that these numbers are correct, I would take it out of the ending fund balance, Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you.
Representative Hawks, did you have your hand up?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for Mr. Longo, Lane. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Longo, the fiscal note has $60,000 per year for contracted services, including technical assistance, public outreach, education, so on and so forth. Can you go into how that is spent or what? And then I have a follow-up question. I'll ask that right now, and you can address both of them. You have two councils, I guess, and each one of them is going to have 20 members at $1,500 per member per year. Why do we need 20 members on those councils? So. That's fine, yeah, redirect.
Mr. Vice Chairman, Representative Wansenreed here, I will answer that question. The bill was introduced, had up to 20 members. Thought being that that would be a sufficient number of members to do a good job of representing the diversity in both of the two drainages that we're really looking at, the Missouri and the Yellowstone. The costing for those 20 members is something the department did, but the proposal that came to you for me, it's not a departmental bill, was for up to 20 members, Mr. Vice Chairman.
And follow up then, Mr. Vice Chairman, why do you need 20 members? Do you, is there much diversity there in those? Could we get by with a few less?
Well, Mr. Vice Chairman and Representative Hawk, if you look at the drainage, just starting at the headwaters of the Missouri, a lot of real estate, a lot of diversity in those drainages. For those of you that live in Cascade County, maybe you don't want to be on this, but I would recommend to you leave it at 20. And if it's found that they don't need 20, they can have fewer than 20. It's up to 20, Mr. Vice Chairman.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Vice Chairman, then for Mr. Bongo, the $60,000, how's that? What are you doing there?
Vice Chairman, Representative Hawk, it looks like the $60,000 is contracted services. Well, you see what includes facilitation, technical assistance, public outreach, some education. I would assume that there's also probably going to be a needed time for hydrologists to formulate some water measurement, things like that.
So those would be your contracted services?
Right. And, you know, DNRC, there's one FTE for Water Resource Division in this. We also would, at times, bring some of our existing technical staff into the mix to provide support. So we would have some contribution with existing staff as well.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Getz.
Mr. Vice Chair, to the sponsor, question, please.
Mr. Vice Chairman.
Senator Wansenried, I like the bill real well, except I'm a little bit concerned. I'm a water user and irrigator in eastern Montana, and I'm concerned about the striking of line 2 and page 2. I believe that there's some real potential impacts on water quality, and I'm concerned as to why that was struck out.
Mr. Vice Chairman, Representative Getz, that was done early on in the process. The thought was that the language in subsection A right above there would take care of those issues. The term water quality was taken out, and I'm not as comfortable, but I suppose if we hadn't taken that second or subsection B out, the bill probably wouldn't be before you today. Thought was that an inventory of consumptive and non-consumptive uses would cover in-stream flows itself, and it did not need to be specific. And I would argue to you that as a part of the work that would be done, it's probably would go without saying that water quantity and water quality, as the Interim Water Policy Committee found, go hand in hand, that they would be one and the same. The way the bill is drafted right now, it's not specific, but I would argue to you that in the spirit of which the work that's been done by the Interim Water Policy Committee, this planning would have to take on an examination of water quality as a part of its work. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you.
Representative Noff.
For Mr. Langle. Under number 4 in assumptions, it says, should DNRC obtain additional funding through grants or cost-sharing agreements with the federal partners or others, the general fund requirements could be reduced. And do you think that's a pretty good chance that that will happen and that we can reduce the costs? And you probably dealt with things like this before, and because it was our navigable streams, is there a pretty good chance we can find additional funding through federal partners, et cetera?
Mr. Vice Chair, Representative, I suppose there's probably a 50-50 chance. I really wouldn't know what the chances are of securing additional funding specifically for that purpose. You know, certainly is a possibility.
Thank you. Further questions from the committee? Seeing none, would the sponsor like to close? I would very briefly, Mr. Vice Chairman. Good questions. I want to draw your attention to the bottom of page 1 because I want to make it clear what we're starting here. Yes, it's true that we can't bind future legislative sessions, but I want you to know that the plan here is not to do this for 2 years and say, well, we're all done. It's not that simple. As you heard, state of Washington has designs on our water. We always worry about the upper Midwest. Well, we've got people in the Pacific Northwest that have designs on our water. We don't have any real plans for the water. We don't really have any idea what amounts of water are available given all the conflicting uses. And for those of you that want resource development the conversion of coal to gas, that takes water. Do we have enough? We're going to have enough in the long term to satisfy all those needs? I don't know, and I would tell you, I'm sure that none of us in this room have the kind of information in front of us that we need. This is going to be an investment to begin a process. It's not going to be a two-year process. I would hope for those of you that support the idea that you'll be here with all the gut-wrenching decisions that you've made in this room, willing to make an investment in this sort of thing that are just as important in some respects. I sat in this room and we had to make decisions about human services, tough decisions. For those of you that serve in the other, same thing. This has to rise at some point in our history of this state to be just as important. And we need to commit ourselves to do the kinds of things that sometimes make these decisions tough. We have to make choices. I don't know where the money is going to come from. If I could strike a magic wand, I'd be happy to tell you where it would come from. It's going to be a collaborative process. It's going to take those of you on this committee, first of all, to agree with the idea that it's appropriately funded and to move it forward and to be supportive of the idea, not just this session for those of you that come back. We have to do this. We have to do it now, and we have to do it in conjunction with a lot of other work about controlling the destiny of this state. We're really talking about our sovereignty as it affects water here. And I would recommend a due pass on this with a commitment to seeing it through this session and into the future. And I would appreciate a due concur recommendation, Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you. That ends the hearing on Senate Bill 303.
Okay. Representative Glazier.
Without objection from anybody from the committee, Madam Chair, I would suggest that we go into executive session on this bill. And I don't see any objections, so why don't we go into executive session and dispatch this bill?
That'll be fine, Representative Glazier. We'll go into executive session. Representative Glazier.
Madam Chair, I'll make a due pass motion on, or due concur motion on Senate Bill 303, Madam Chair.
Comments, questions from the committee? Questions been called? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Representative Hawk, Representative Kasten voting no. Representative Hollenbaugh voting aye by proxy. And Representative Sesso voting aye by proxy. And I believe Representative Nooney was voting no as well. Senate Bill number 303 passes. Members of the committee, that concludes our action for today. I think we're looking at having lunch together on Friday if all comes together as planned, and I'll keep you updated. Representative Hawk, lunch on Friday as a committee.
We have extra treats coming from. We paid
lunch on Friday?
Yeah. Does that fit in your schedule?
Whereabouts?
Here. They're bringing it to us.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's nice. But you're going to be at the dance party.
Just remember, there's no free lunch.
We've already paid for it. All right.
Oh, no.
We're adjourned.